Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd like you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 31 and verse 32. Amen. Luke 22:31-32. Praise the Lord and enjoy the singing. Appreciate the singers, the musicians, and I just enjoy songs that speak from the heart. And I'm so glad he came to the tomb of another Lazarus. That'll preach right there. He came to a tomb of another Lazarus. Praise God. Amen. So Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. How many know the devil wants to destroy you? So the devil wants to destroy you. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Isn't it awesome? Even God prays for you. God's rooting for you. Heaven's rooting for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. When you get better, help other people. When you feel better, help other people. Amen. I want to preach tonight the symptoms of a backslider. The symptoms of a backslider. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We appreciate it tonight, God. We ask, God, that you would just move and touch and have your way in this service tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. Heart failure is a condition in which the heart does not pump efficiently. It does not mean the heart stopped beating. You with me? When an individual's having heart failure, it means it's not working right. It's not pumping right. Doesn't mean it stopped working. Same thing can be told with faith failure. Faith failure is not the complete stop of faith. It just ain't working right. Now, I said this a while ago. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm preaching to anybody in particular. Maybe some of these messages is God's way of just putting something in our toolbox. Putting something for us. Maybe somebody you're going to come in contact with needs to hear this. Amen. Now, there are many symptoms and things that can happen to an individual that will tell them that something's wrong. You get headaches, and you can't figure out why you're getting headaches all the time, and many times that's a sign of other problems. Feet swelling, and that's just a symptom of a greater issue. And so we see these symptoms, but see, the problem with so many of us, especially in this day and age, we only want to deal with symptoms, not realizing that symptoms are only just signs of a real problem. See, you get pain in your body and you start hurting. Like, I have gout issues and have dealt with them quite often. And thankfully, we've been able to get it under control as of lately. But when you have gout, each and every person has a different trigger that triggers that gout. And the gout is a symptom of an overproduction of uric acid in the body. So you got to find out what's producing that much uric acid and then try to stop it or get it under control. What I want to talk about tonight is symptoms of backsliding. If you can detect them early enough, if you can catch it early enough, it's a whole lot easier to fix than if you don't catch it early enough. And it begins to get in. I hear story after story called to visit hospital rooms of someone that just found out. We just found out last week, Pastor, that she had cancer and she's gone. Just found out. Didn't even know anything was wrong. Just found out that he had an issue. And now he's gone 3 or 4 days later. Why is this the case? Why does this happen? I'll tell you why. It's an ignoring of symptoms. I don't believe anybody just finds out. No, they just finally went to the doctor. Your body is designed in such a way by God to begin to tell you something's wrong. But we have become masters of masking symptoms. We have got a whole pharmaceutical industry that's built around masking and covering up symptoms. Oh, we know you're overweight and you don't eat well and your heart's not doing good, but that's okay. Here, just take a pill and you'll feel better. And what your body's really trying to tell you is to cut back a little bit. Exercise a little bit. Get rid of the soda. But no, not in this society. We don't get rid of the soda. We don't cut back on the junk, no. We just take a pill just to deal with it. And then we act surprised when people are having a heart attack at 33 and 34 years of age. What are you getting at, Pastor? What I'm getting at is so dangerous to ignore symptoms. It's so dangerous to ignore signs that are popping up. And I want to talk about some symptoms tonight. Symptoms to backsliding. I'll parallel it with cancer because we went through that with Victor. And kind of when we did a lot of research back then, I began to see, wow, this really goes parallel. What happens physically many times parallels what happens spiritually. Now, cancer shows no symptoms in the beginning stages, but symptoms appear before the disease spreads. So the American Cancer Society lists 7 such warning signs, and they are these. And these are my 7 points tonight, and I believe these run parallel with our walk with God. If we'll be honest, these are the same symptoms we see when people begin to backslide. Now, I thank God each and every one of you here tonight. And those that are watching in, if they're a backslider, we love them. We don't hate anybody. I tell you, sometimes backsliders think that we rejoice that they're not in church. No, it breaks our heart that you're not in church. We don't rejoice that you're not in church. We want you back in the house of God. We're waiting and patiently with arms wide open. We love you. Well, I believe you're saying this. You're believing the father of lies. Come on. The father of lies. We love each person that's ever left this church. Amen. So what are these cancerous signs? Before I get into that, I want to talk about pain for a minute. We live in a society that hates pain. Oh, they hate pain. They'll do anything to avoid pain. It's a 4-letter word that works coincidentally with another 4-letter word called WORK. And they'll do anything they can to avoid that as well. You with me? But there's something about pain. Pain is precious. Tell your neighbor, pain is precious. Pain is precious. Why is pain precious? Because pain is a symptom. Pain is an indicator. Pain is a sign. Come on. Has anybody ever sprained an ankle before? What happens when you sprain an ankle? Ouch! It hurts. Do you get up and just take off running again? No. If you're any good at it, you'll milk it real good. Oh, let's not lie. But you know what you are? You start doing? You start favoring. You with me? You start favoring that leg. You sprain the right ankle, so you favor it, so you don't put as much weight on that. Why? Why are you not putting weight on it? But why does it hurt? Because it's damaged, and you're not putting more weight on it because your body's trying to heal it. If you didn't have pain, you would damage it further. You with me? I'm looking for a church that doesn't cause me to have any conviction. I'm looking for a church that doesn't cause me to have any pain. I just want to feel good all the time. You can find those kind of places. You can find those that will tickle your ear and give you a cover-up for your sins and give you a cover-up for your failures and tell you it's not your fault, it's your mom and dad's fault. Tell your decisions are not your fault, it's your environment's fault. But all the while, you're walking on a broken ankle. And you're walking on broken bones. And you're walking on broken life. And it's not helping. It's causing more damage. We need pain. We need pain. Pain is an indicator. Pain shows us something's wrong. You with me? Now, the Bible makes reference that leprosy in the old times is paralleled in our times as sin. Sin is a type of leprosy. So when the Bible speaks of a leper, it's also speaking of a sinner. That when you're a leper, and when you become a sinner, and you don't get control of it, then it divides and separates. You have to leave the city. You're no longer a part of the church. You could be in the church or at the church, but not in the church. Because of leprosy, because of sin. Sin separates. Sin moves apart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to get to that in a minute and talk about what leprosy does to you. But the first sign that you have something wrong with your body, and there may be issues, is a change in bowel or bladder habits. That's right. How many times did somebody go to the doctor and said, well, when's the last time you went to the bathroom? And they ask you those questions. Why are they asking those questions? It's the first sign that something's wrong. It's not what you're taking in that they're worried about. They're worried about, are you getting things out? Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, cleanse yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. The problem with so many people in their walk with God is a letting down of their personal standards. You with me? We can't always control what comes in. But we need to make sure we put it out. We don't keep it in. Come on. And if we can't control what's coming in, cut it off. Somebody say amen. But the problem with some of us is we're taking in trash and we take in negativity and we begin to hold it in and we don't let it out. We don't go pray it through. We don't go into the house of God and get victory. Huh? And we just hold that. And the Bible refers to it as bitterness. And when bitterness takes root, many are defiled. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So when if you start holding stuff in, that's the first sign of sins staying in your life. And you're about to backslide. Let it go. Let it out. Well, they offended me. So what? Well, that person hurt my feelings. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on. Come on. We've all had our feelings hurt before. Amen. And if we're all different. So there's things that people are going to say and do that's not going to rub you the right way. Get over it. Move on. Don't hold that stuff in. Amen. Well, the Bible says, if I got a problem with my brother, that I need to go to him and take care of it. Is that what the Bible says? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if thy brother have a fault with you, go and settle it. Not if you got a problem with them. See, the problem with so many of us is we got this thing, we're so self-righteous. Well, I got a problem with this one. I'm going to go tell them what my problem is. No, you just keep your mouth shut and go pray. But if that brother or sister is having a problem with you, then go try to settle it. Go try to solve it. Amen? If it doesn't work between the two of you, then get a witness. If that don't work, get a pastor and get the church involved. But don't go through life without settling issues. And let me tell you this, and it's not in my notes, but I found when it comes to settling problems, the best thing to do is go to sleep. That was hard for me to do. I'm not. When I'm upset, I can't go to sleep. It's a fight. But you know what? I need to let my wife go to sleep. I don't need to sit there and try to fix it because it's just not working. But if I let her go to sleep, it's a whole lot easier the next day. I don't know if it's her or me or the devil. I don't know which it is. But I just learned it's good to let things rest and come back and deal with it later. Many times when people call me, I'm not trying to put you off or push you away. Pastor, I got upset. I've got a problem. Well, let me call you back tomorrow. Why do you do that, Pastor? Because I need to pray. You need to pray. And we need to give God a chance to do something first. I said, we need to give God a chance. Instead of us trying to fix all the problems, we need to give God a chance. Somebody say amen. All right. Number two, sign that American Cancer Society has put out. is a signal, is a sore that just doesn't heal. A sore that just doesn't heal. Whew. Think about that. If you start having feelings inside of you that just won't go away, if you got up, you're upset or you're hurt and you're dealing with stuff in your walk with God and those hurts just won't go away, you need more than just coming to church. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to get with the man of God. You need to find a way. And here's the thing. See, a lot of people don't like it when they come to me about these things because they think when they come to me, I'm just there to be their Dr. Phil or their Oprah. They see a pastor as a psychiatrist. He's got a couch somewhere. I'm going to sit on it, and I'm just going to be able to unload all my problems on him. Nay, nay. Come again? Let me help you understand something. God didn't call me to be your counselor. I can teach you, I can preach to you, and I can listen to you, but if you think I'm there to be your therapist, you got another thing coming. You're not going to like my therapy. Because I'm going to tell you, shut up. You know what I'll start doing? I do it every time. You start crying and whining and about your whole life. I'm not saying leave a testimony. We've all done that. I like to hear people's story. There's a difference in someone telling me their story than someone whining all the time. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Whining and crying. You know what I always do? I always change the subject. Let me tell you about somebody I saw the other day. That's a whole lot worse than you. I don't say that. I just tell a story. Let me tell you about this kid in Africa who ain't never had a pair of shoes, and he was 17 years old, and he was just happy to carry my Bible. Huh? And you're complaining because your dad didn't buy you a new pair of shoes, your mom didn't. Come on. Suck it up, buttercup. There's always somebody got it worse than you, and they're living for God. Amen. Woo, praise God. But if you got a sore that doesn't heal, there's a problem. And the real issue is not that you need someone to talk to, is you need to forgive. You hear me? You need to forgive. Well, I just can't do it. Well, then don't do it and go to hell. Well, I just can't do it. I just can't forgive. There's people going through a lot worse than you, and they have sucked it up. And they forgive. And they moved on with their lives. And they're no longer a prisoner to what somebody else did to them. They're no longer a prisoner of what somebody else did to their loved one. They are now free to live. You see, forgiveness is not for those who did something to you. Forgiveness is for you to be free. Because as long as you hold that sore in there and you don't let it heal, it ain't hurting them, it's hurting you. As long as you hold that pain in there, it's not hurting them, it's hurting you. And let me get you to understand something. Forgiveness is not letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay what they did. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay and that's just it's over. No, forgiveness is saying vengeance is the Lord's and not mine. Forgiveness is saying, God, I'm turning this over to you, but I'm letting it go. I'm not dealing with this no more. I forgive you. Moving on. Not, I forgive you, but God's going to get you, buddy. No. You forgive and let it go. You let it go because that's the past. You can't change it. Or what if I did this? Or what if I did that? No, we can't change that. We can't do anything about that. All we can do is live what we have right before us right now. I don't want a cancer to get inside of me, and then that cancer ends up causing me to backslide. That cancer takes me out of the house of God and ultimately takes me out of heaven. Blots my name out of the book of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. I quoted the scripture about in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen. Number three symptom is unusual bleeding. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. If you have someone that even when they're laughing, they're upset. You ever seen that? That they're always upset. It seems that no matter what's going on, they're hurting. I talked about this the other day. I taught a whole lesson on this symptom right here. It is the spirit of those that are the victim. When you start getting a victim mentality, that's a sure sign you're headed down the wrong road. that's a sure sign you're headed down a backslidden road, because everything hurts you and everything upsets you. When I've had people who know, I just don't think the church cares about what I'm going through. Man, the church don't even know what you're going through. Hush. And you see, the same ones that get upset because somebody didn't call them, or they're upset, they're hurt all the time. You know what? If they really knew all the things that everybody else was going through, they'd be quiet. They'd hush. See, the majority of us deal with life on an everyday basis, and we just keep going on. A majority of us, there's people in this room right now that's got loved ones in the hospital, and you're not sure the outcome is going to be. There's some of us in this room that've got financial problems, and you're not sure how next week is even going to work out. But you're not sitting around. Nobody else knows that you're facing that, but you and God, and maybe just one or two other people. But you're not looking for people to pat you on the back and say, "I feel sorry for you." No. You know why? Because you're not a victim. Amen. God brought me here. God will get me through it. God saw this or whoever got here. God knew I was going to. Hey, I'm not afraid of no virus. I'm not afraid of nothing. Because why? Because God's already brought us here. God knows what's going on. Amen. Amen. Number four, hardness throughout the body. Numbness. The inability to feel. The inability to feel pain. Do you know leprosy? If you read leprosy, many times people think that leprosy is a disease of the skin because they get boils and rashes and things begin to happen. You see the evidence of those are just symptoms of the leprosy. Leprosy is the disease of the nerves. Leprosy is a disease of no feeling. You hear me? Everybody say no feeling. Leprosy is a disease of numbness, of hardness. So a person that gets leprosy, they just no longer feel pain. Oh, that sounds like an awesome disease. No, it's a horrible disease because pain is precious. They get a paper cut and they don't feel it. What do you do when you get a paper cut? Somebody show me. Why do you do that? Because there's antibodies in your mouth. You do that. Well, it's bacteria. It's a natural reaction. We want to clean out that wound. We take care of it. We band-aid it. We put some Neosporin on it. It hurts. Person that has leprosy, they didn't feel it. So they keep on going. And that little paper cut, it now gets infected and gangrene sets in. And lepers will lose whole fingers all because of just one little paper cut. Something so insignificant. I'm going to tell you something. There's a problem when sin begins to get inside of us and we no longer feel bad anymore. We no longer have a conscience anymore. The Bible says your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Amen. And then you start cussing again and you don't think about it anymore. You start watching things you didn't want to watch, you wouldn't watch before, and you start searing your conscience and you no longer feel guilty or feel pain. I'm going to tell you something. We all fall down, but as long as you feel bad for doing it, you still got hope. But you better be worried when you start falling down and you no longer feel bad about it anymore. No longer feel guilty anymore. It's a sign that you're backsliding. You've seen it. Maybe you've been one of those people and you've watched yourself or watched some of your good friends. And they'd be, "Whoa, why'd you say that? You shouldn't talk like that." And they didn't even notice they said it. No, don't talk. Why? They're on the road of backsliding, hardness, and then a detachment from the body. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Number five, you have indigestion or difficulty in swallowing. It's another sign of something going on in the body. Indigestion or hard time keeping things down and a hard time taking things in. I can watch a backslider, sure as the world. You start preaching and they start choking on it. Huh?
He's just talking to me. He's picking on me. He's preaching at me. Well, duh.
I ain't preaching at somebody in Australia right now. Preaching at you. How's he know? I'm just watching on YouTube. God knows. Sitting there with the hard heart, sitting there with the difficulty in handling preaching, not willing to receive direction, not willing to be corrected. Huh? I'm not a mean pastor. God, y'all don't know what mean preachers are. Maybe you do. I've known mean preachers. I've seen preachers that lord over the flock. I know. I've seen it. And I do my best not to be that way. I do my best to, and there's times I want to. I want to beat somebody in the head. I said, Lord, give me a salvation baseball bat. Salvation baseball bat. That's right. Then I can just hit people and they be saved. Wouldn't that be awesome? Our outreach team would be like the biggest in the world. Everybody would sign up. I love this church. I've been wanting to save people my whole life. It doesn't work that way. Our weapons are not carnal. I wish they were sometimes. I can't believe preacher said that. He said he wished hit somebody in the head, and it was probably you. And I probably got more than 10 or 15 volunteers that would do it for me. Can I get a witness? Oh, it's all right to laugh in church. Amen? Amen. I want to make it to heaven. I don't want to be a backslider. I don't want to fall away. I've been down that road before. Anybody backslid and fall away from your walk with God, not where you need to be. My God, I thank God for his mercy. I thank God he kept on holding on to me. Amen. Amen. Number six, an obvious change in warts or moles. Now, how's he going to make that spiritual? Yeah. Warts are caused by infection in skin, but can always go away when the body gains immunity. As the body gets stronger, the skin gets stronger. Come on. When you start seeing surface things change, when people's attitude and their reaction, it becomes very caustic and very outwardly, that's a wart. That's a mole. That's a sign of a weak spiritual body. Come on. You with me? You start seeing yourself get that way. You need to get back to church. You need to get back to prayer. You need to go find some good songs like that song they sang earlier and just put that on. I mean, my daughter sent me that. Three young girls sitting in the living room and just playing and singing that song. No soundtrack, no sound equipment. And man, it just touched me. You can do all things but fail. You've never lost a battle. And man, I got up and I had me a prayer meeting. When's the last time you just had a prayer meeting outside of church and you just got a hold of God and God got a hold of you and strengthen your spirit? Somebody clap your hands to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. And the last symptom is a nagging cough or hoarseness. Amen. What comes out of your mouth, your words are no longer uplifting. You become negative and bitter. Amen. When you see someone and that's what they're doing, or if that's you, and you start becoming someone that's caustic with your words, a nagging cough, a hoarseness, and it's meanness and hatefulness, that's a sure sign you're headed down the wrong path. I'm not saying you don't have a bad day. I'm not saying you don't lose your temper. That's a part of life. But when that becomes your main thing, that becomes your modus operandi, that becomes what people know you by. He's just a grump. She's just a grump. Everything they say is just a grump. Come on. You think that's a child of God? You think that's going in the right direction? No, I don't think so. Somebody say amen. So what's the point in this tonight, Pastor? Why are you teaching this? Why are you preaching it? I'm preaching to someone because you need to make sure when you start seeing signs in your body that you're going the wrong direction, that you make up your mind, I'm just not going that way. There's nobody in this room and nobody under the sound of my voice that's exempt from backsliding or falling away from God. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all found ourselves making rash decisions over, I'm talking, permanent decisions in temporary emotions. Come on. Ooh, I can say that again. Be careful making permanent decisions over temporary emotions. Well, pastor doesn't like me, or his wife, she's mean to me, or brother Lance, I just can't stand him, or brother Chris Hine, why is he standing at the door like that? Or what? I mean, good God, you find someone when they start backsliding, they find fault in everything. That's right. There's nothing wrong with your stand, okay? Suck it up. <Nah. laughs> But you know what I'm talking about. When they start going down that road, everything, and they start making permanent decisions over temporary emotions. Somebody say amen. 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 I'm almost done. I'm going to close here in a moment. I know this is different tonight. It's almost like I'm teaching tonight and I preached this morning. But that's all right. I'm glad to be in church. How about you? I'm glad to be a child of God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 through verse 17. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He said, make straight paths for your feet. Who? You. Don't wait for somebody else to make your path straight. You start making path straight. You start coming to church. You start praying. You start reading your Bible. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. I believe, in my estimation, that the greatest tragedy of any tragedy that I can think of is the tragedy of a backslider. I believe that. I can't personally, as a pastor, it's one of the hardest things that I can, it breaks my heart, the tragedy of somebody who God once walked up to their tomb, who the world had already rolled the stone over them, had already wrote them off, their family had wrote them off, and God walked up and told them, move the stone. And he called out their name, come forth. And they came forth. And they walked in the light. And they walked with God, all to one day ignore the symptoms, stop fighting the good fight of faith, and found themselves, woke up one night, laying back in the old tomb. No, nobody else rolled that stone there. They rolled it there themselves. And they're right back. I don't know of a greater tragedy than to see someone fall back. And the Bible speaks very, very, very explicit. When you go back, it's 7 times worse than the first time. You hear me? It's 7 times worse. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, or I'm just maybe encouraging the church to hold fast and, you know, stay in the fight. And come on, the Bible says you got to contend. You got to fight the good fight. You got to stay in the church and stay in the fight. Why don't we stand here tonight? Amen. And I think when I sent the young people out, I sent out all my piano players and everything, didn't I? Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All our piano players are short. Brother Jonathan, give me a drummer. Can we just have a little altar time? Is that all right? Is that all right? Can we just say, you know what? I'm not going nowhere. I'm not letting the Lord, I'm not going to fail the Lord. I may have failed before, but I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to watch out for. How many has ever seen some of those symptoms in your own life? Can you just be honest? You've seen those symptoms. You've seen those things pop up and say, you know what? I'm aware of this, and I'm going to go back to the altar. Amen? I'm trying to think. I don't have to usually think of a song. Well, you know what? What's better than Amazing Grace?